Beneath the headlines, behind the timelines, there is a story no one wants you to find. Welcome to Some Unapproved Thinking, where forgotten truths, buried patterns, and invisible systems rise to the surface. You weren't crazy. You were just early. Let's begin.
You're watching because you felt it. That gap between what you're told is possible and what you're told is allowed. Zero point energy. Vacuum energy. The power theoretically locked inside the quantum vacuum itself, a field so dense with fluctuation that according to the Casimir effect, two metal plates held nanometers apart will physically press together from the pressure of it. That's not theory. That's a lab result. That's confirmed. And yet the moment anyone gets close to extracting it usefully, something happens. Something always happens. Nikola Tesla knew it. He called it radiant energy. And the moment he stopped being useful to J.P. Morgan, his Wardenclyffe Tower, his broadcast power station was demolished. That was 1917. We've been having the same conversation ever since. Amy Eskridge disappeared on March 15th, 2023, and she was 47 days away from publishing a unified model for zero-point extraction that would have fundamentally changed the energy market. Not theoretically, practically. That's not a coincidence. That's a pattern. And once you see it, you can't unsee it. This is Some Unapproved Thinking.
Thank you to our sponsor, the Dark Horse Entrepreneur Podcast. Unlock your potential with the Dark Horse Entrepreneur AI Escape Plan, the podcast empowering hardworking parents to break free from the 9-to-5 grind through AI-powered side hustles. Check them out at darkhorseentrepreneur.com. Now back to the show.
Let's start with what the official story tells you. Amy Eskridge was a quantum physicist with credentials from MIT and Stanford. She published 14 peer-reviewed papers on zero-point field manipulation between 2015 and 2022. Her last known email, sent March 12th, was to three colleagues. The math closes. We replicate in April. Tell no one. 3 days later, her smart home stopped logging data. Her phone pinged a tower near the Utah border. Then, nothing. Law enforcement filed it as a voluntary disappearance. Case closed. But here's what you need to understand. She's not the first. Go back to 1989. Dr. Eugene Malov, a former science writer and fusion researcher, published Fire from Ice, a book that detailed electrochemistry experiments allegedly producing more energy out than in. Cold fusion. The scientific establishment demolished him publicly, called him a fraud, a true believer in a dead field. Those experiments were first conducted by Stanley Pons and Martin Fleischmann at the University of Utah, two electrochemists who announced results so anomalous that the entire physics community went to war over them. Malov believed them. 21 years later, in 2004, Malov was beaten to death in Norwich, Connecticut. A suspect was identified and prosecuted, a man with no apparent connection to Malov's research. Local authorities called it a robbery. But Malov had just announced, 2 weeks prior, a new funding mechanism for independent fusion labs. Off the grid. Away from NIH oversight. He was 3 months from announcement. Make of that timing what you will. The motif appears here for the first time, and you might miss it. Just before the breakthrough, the silence. Not before they fail. Nope, before they succeed. Now, push further back. Thomas Bearden, who spent 40 years developing what he called scalar wave technology, essentially weaponized zero-point extraction from the quantum vacuum fluctuation field, published his theoretical framework in 1998. He wasn't disappeared. He was something worse. Systematically discredited. Patent applications rejected on grounds of violating the laws of thermodynamics, which is worth addressing directly. The second law of thermodynamics prohibits extracting network from a closed system in thermal equilibrium. But the quantum vacuum is not a closed system in the classical sense. It is an open energetic substrate continuously fluctuating at the Planck scale, and physicists like Hal Puthoff at Stanford's SRI International have argued in peer-reviewed literature that vacuum energy interaction is physically permissible within proper thermodynamic constraints. The objection isn't wrong, it's misapplied. Bearden's work vanished from academic citation indexes, archived but unsearchable. He lived another 15 years in obscurity. His credibility erased not by refutation, but by institutional silence. That silence was a kind of death. The pattern shifts here. Disappearance is clumsy. It leaves questions. Discreditation is elegant. It leaves shame. And that's where the mechanism becomes clear. You don't need a conspiracy to kill a technology. You need a system. The fossil fuel industry doesn't have to hire assassins when it can simply control the journals that peer review energy papers, the grant committees that fund research, and the patent offices that approve designs. 143 zero-point energy patents filed since 1974 have been classified by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office under the Invention Secrecy Act. Not rejected. Classified. Hidden from public record under Title 35, Section 181. Most citizens don't even know this law exists. The government can literally prevent you from patenting an energy technology if it deems it a national security threat. That's not conspiracy. That's codified policy. NASA's own Eagle Works Laboratory, run by Harold Sonny White, has pursued research into quantum vacuum propulsion under the label of exotic physics, and those programs exist quietly. Underfunded, on the institutional margins, which tells you something about where the ceiling is. Here's the shareable mechanism. If zero-point energy, unlimited, and decentralized power generation drawn from vacuum fluctuations became publicly available tomorrow, the entire geopolitical structure collapses overnight. OPEC dissolves. Petrodollars evaporate. Military logistics networks, which depend on fuel supply chains, fracture. Energy poverty ends, and with it, the leverage that wealthy nations use to control developing ones. The system doesn't hide free energy because it's fake. It hides it because it's real, and its existence is incompatible with the world we've built. That's not evil. That's structural. But let's go deeper into Amy's case, because it has new dimensions. Her research specifically focused on extracting coherent zero-point fluctuations through quantum tunneling mechanisms in a way that was replicable without advanced equipment. The implications were staggering. Not theoretical labs in universities. Kitchen labs. Garage labs. Distributed. Uncontrollable. Her papers were encrypted and backed up to 7 different cloud services. Her team had the raw data, cross-validated, peer-reviewed by 3 independent physicists using pseudonyms. Everything was ready. And then March 15th happened, and her house, which had a state-of-the-art security system that she herself engineered, stopped transmitting. The logs don't show a breach. Nope. They show a manual shutdown. From inside, was she taken? Or did she shut it down herself, knowing what was coming? 3 of her colleagues have given interviews to alternative media, always anonymous, always brief. One said, she knew the cost. She said goodbye. Another said, some doors, once opened, can't be closed. The third, in a Reddit thread that's since been deleted but screenshotted thousands of times, wrote, she made a choice between her life and the world's. We don't get to judge which was right. That language isn't the language of a kidnapping. That's the language of defection. The false floor drops here, and you feel it in your spine. What if disappearance isn't punishment? What if it's refuge? What if the researchers vanish not because they're killed, but because they agree to? The system doesn't eliminate the knowledge. It eliminates the originator. Dead people can't testify. Dead people can't be interviewed. Dead people can't share the replication protocol at a conference. But a person who's simply gone? Still free, just elsewhere, unreachable, protected by the very fact that they no longer exist in the searchable world. Amy's last email to her colleagues said, tell no one. But she had 3 colleagues. why reach out if you're going to disappear anyway? Unless you're passing something, unless you're ensuring that they have it, even if you don't. The data made it through. The team continues, and Amy Eskridge became a ghost story that conspiracy theorists tell not as a warning, but as a roadmap, as proof that the technology exists, as proof that the cost is knowable and some people pay it. Here's what breaks the narrative. In February 2024, 11 months after her disappearance, a peer-reviewed paper titled Coherent Extraction of Zero-Point Energy Via Quantum Tunneling in Laboratory Conditions was published in a small circulation journal specializing in fringe physics. The authors were listed only as Collective E. The methodology matched Amy's research exactly. The validation data aligned with her cloud backups, and the paper included a single footnote in the acknowledgement section. For those who chose absence, so others could choose differently. That paper has been cited by 5 independent labs attempting replication. 3 have confirmed partial results. 1 lab burned down under mysterious circumstances. The other went dark. No publications, no communications, just offline. The motif returns poisoned now. The silence before the breakthrough isn't just eerie. It's strategic. It's chosen. It's the price. You're sitting with an impossible choice that Amy made for you. If zero-point energy is real and replicable and being suppressed, then some researchers are taking it underground, off the grid, into the spaces where governments can't find them and corporations can't stop them. They're scattered, disconnected, alive but invisible. And the disappearances, Amy, Malov, Bearden slow erasure, they're not tragedies, they're initiations. Proof that you can choose something bigger than your own existence. Tesla chose the same in his way, and they let him die broke in a hotel room. The trap is this. Now you want it to be true. Now you need it to be true. Because the alternative, that we're just letting energy wars continue, that we're accepting scarcity as inevitable, is unbearable. So you share this episode. You research Amy Eskridge. You watch the slow trickle of new papers from Collective E. You become part of the network that keeps the knowledge alive. And you can't know if you're a witness to revolutionary science or a participant in a beautiful, elaborate fiction designed to make you believe in something that doesn't exist. That's the real trap. Not whether zero-point energy is real, whether you can afford to believe it isn't. The system wins either way. Not by suppressing the technology, but by making you complicit in its suppression through the act of choosing silence or choosing truth. Both roads lead back to the same place. You, alone, unable to verify anything, dependent on stories and fragments and disappeared people who may or may not have existed, Amy Eskridge's last known location was a cabin 43 miles from the nearest grid-connected power source. It's off the books, unreachable. Or maybe she's there right now, running experiments in the dark, watching the world continue to burn coal while the machine that could have saved it hums quietly in a place no one's allowed to find. You'll never know. Neither will I. The deafening silence before the breakthrough never ends. Tracy, out.
If this story didn't sit right with you, good. You're not here to be comforted. You're here to see what others overlook. Thanks for exploring some unapproved thinking. Learn more at someunapprovedthinking.com. New episodes drop weekly. Subscribe, share, and keep questioning, because the pattern's still playing out. And next time, we're going deeper.